Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Trainer of Champions, and we like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. Hey, look, we have our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, hello, Aaron. Good to see you again. Talk to you and all that. You know, I also wanted, before we get started, I'm going to say Happy Veterans Day to everybody with all of that out there, and we just want to, for the World Boxing Review, they'll say, thanks for your service, man, you know. So, happy Veterans Day.
Oh, yeah, man. Brother Doug and my family, you know Doug, you know, Big Doug.
Right,
He's a veteran, served in the Vietnam War. And my father, who passed, he was a veteran. He was a sergeant in the Army. He did the color guard, you know, where they twirl the rifles and all of that. And my listen to this, Bob. My great great grandfather from Pottsville, Martin V. Snowell. He was in the Civil War. He fought in the Civil War. And he got wounded in battle twice.
Wow.
And yeah. You know, when Lincoln called for all of them guys, you know, from Pottsville area, a lot of those guys were ones who mounted up for battle.
Yes, they were. Yeah, there's a lot of history up here for that. Like you said, there was a lot of people that got called into service up here in Pennsylvania to go, you know, do that Civil War thing. Man, it was wild times. But, yeah, just wanted to make a little note of that. But that's good information, too. Hey, my dad was a submariner, man. He's been in a lot of the battles. And my mother was also a veteran. She was an old wave. So, it was veterans in my family, too, you know. So that's
man,
good.
It's
cool.
A blessing. It's a blessing to have people in the family that served, you know.
Yeah.
And plus, my first cousin on my mother's side, Harp, he served, Samuel Harp. He was a general. He was born in Pottsville. You know, like Jolovan.
Yeah.
A general from Pottsville. My cousin, Samuel Harp, was a general in the Air Force from Pottsville, born in Pottsville, and he was part of the Tuskegee Airmen. And when he retired from the armed services, he ran the Baltimore Airport.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. But that's enough of our family business, Bob. we honor them because freedom, without them, we wouldn't be free, you know. But
we got
some good fighting news. I know we do, Bob. You know, come up with it. What we have?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to get a quick comment about Wilder's fight last week. Took him out in one round, man. I was talking to you earlier this week. He said he was ready. Came out and took care of business.
Well, it showed that there's a saying, good fighters in a rematch, they know how to make an adjustment. And he made the adjustment, what he had to do, and he came out one round, man. He was explosive. I mean, that's the best I ever see them look. I mean, he was doing a lot of great things in there. He realized that he had a flat tire in front of him, and he showed that the tire was flat, and he took the rest of the air out of the tire as of that way.
Right.
It lines them up for a big unification match, and the heavyweight division is back looking exciting.
Yes, with Anthony Joshua. They're doing some negotiating, and I'm sure we'll hear about it as soon as they have something to tell us. Hey, also, I just wanted to point out another thing from last week. We were talking about that Dmitry Bivol from Russia, the guy who had the 11-0 record, and he was the light heavyweight champ, WBA. Well, he took out his opponent that brought her, say, one round, two, came out and smoked him, too. So guess there was a reason why he's 12-0 with a title already, you know, because he's just taking people out right away.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, let's, yeah, yeah.
Back to Anthony Joshua and them, Hearns, there was an article that came out that Hearns has said he's in negotiation with the Wilder camp, and things are looking upward, put it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if they can pull this off, you know, give the boxing fans what they want. This is a matchup. Don't wait way down the line. I think at this time, both of them are on the top of their game, Anthony Joshua and Dante Wilder. Both of them, it's hardly ever that you see two heavyweights on the top of their game. You know what I mean? And makes an exciting fight, you know. So, hey, I hope they pull it off.
Hey, we have some good fights coming up tonight, too. Uniondale, New York, Long Island's Nassau Coliseum. We have former WBA middleweight king Daniel Jacobs, overall record 32-2, got 29 knockouts. He takes on unbeaten Wisconsin native Luis Arias, 18-0 with 9 KOs. It's a 12-rounder, that's on HBO. Heavyweights Jarrell Miller of Brooklyn, he's undefeated also, 19-0 with 17 knockouts. He fights Marius Vok for 12 rounds. He's 33-2 with 17 knockouts. Cletus Seldon goes at it with Roberto Ortiz in a 10-round matchup of junior welterweights. And also an interesting super bantamweight fight between Glenn Dezern, 9-0-1, 6 knockouts, and once beaten Jesse Aniel Hernandez, 9-1 with 7 knockouts. And it is what is now the IBF light heavyweight title fight, Artur Beterbiev, 11-0 with 11 knockouts. Here's another guy going for a title tonight, fighting Enrico Colling, 23-1 with 6 knockouts. That's in Fresno. And this fight is a championship tilt made possible by Andre Ward's sudden retirement about a month ago. So, also fighting are Jose Ramirez versus Mike Yes Indeed Reed for Ramirez's WBC Continental America's super lightweight title. And also in a 10-round junior welterweight clash, it's Alex Saucedo versus Gustavo Vettori. And tonight in Portland, Maine, New England middleweight champ Russell Lamour, 15-2, 7 knockouts, battles former WBA champ John Thompson, 17-3 with 6 KOs. It's an 8-rounder. And the co-feature star, the Carpensi brothers, Tommy, 26-6, 16 knockouts, battles veteran Taiwan Taylor. He's got an even record, 26-26, 19 knockouts. It's an 8-rounder. And it's a light heavyweight bout. And heavyweight brother Jeremiah, 14-1 with 5 KOs, meets the veteran Reuben Williams. He's got an even record of 29-29 with 16 knockouts. That's a 10-rounder. Also on the card is local Portland middleweight, the undefeated Jason Quirk, 7-0, 5 KOs. And also up-and-coming light heavy Brandon Mantella. He's 8-0 with 7 knockouts. He also does battle. Also, just down the road in Hawkinson, Delaware, Jolton Joey Tiberi, 15-2, will now take on Kevin Womack in a 6-round lightweight bout, and Womack is replacing Justin Savi, who withdrew earlier this week. Across the pond, as we like to say, Newcastle in the UK, former WBO World Super Welterweight Champ Liam Smith faces reigning British Super Welterweight Champ Liam Williams in a 12-round rematch. And that serves as a WBO junior middleweight eliminator. Undefeated Thomas Patrick Ward, 20-0, defends his British super bantamweight belt against Sean Davis, 13-1. 12-0, Josh Leather faces Glenn Foote, 20-1, for the IBF European Super Lightweight Championship belt. And an English heavyweight championship showdown between two undefeated. Both guys up and coming here. We'll hear these names in a little bit from the English heavyweight department. Not just Anthony Joshua over there, folks. It's Nathan Gorman versus Nick Webb. Gorman's 10-0, Webb's 11-0. That's also on the card. And up the road from there in Edinburgh, Scotland, tonight, undefeated WBC silver lightweight welterweight champ Josh Taylor is another champ. He's 10-0 with 9 KOs. Defends his title against former IBF lightweight champ Miguel Vasquez. He's been around. He's 39-5 with 15 knockouts. It's a 12-rounder. Also on that card, a battle of two other junior welters, Jason Easton and Josef Zarudnik. They go at it in a scheduled 12-rounder. Also, ladies, junior lightweights, Chantel Cameron clashes with Edith Ramos in a 10-rounder. And this coming Friday night at Flint, Michigan, former super middleweight world champ Anthony Durrell, 31-1, 24 KOs, meets Dennis Duglin, 20-5, 13 KOs in a 10-rounder. Also, Jermonte Clark fights Ivan Golub in an 8-round rematch of welterweights. Also on Friday, November 17th, in Reno, Nevada, hometown favorite Oscar Vasquez, 14-1, steps in against 22-7 Victory Ruiz in a 10-round matchup of flyweights. Also fighting will be 17-year-old sensation Gabe Flores Jr., one of these up-and-comers we like to keep an eye on here on the World Boxing Review. He's 4-0 with 3 knockouts. He's out of Stockton, California, where he still attends high school. It's a 4-round lightweight bout. Oh, man. In other news, on this past Thursday, WBA 112-pound champ, 3-time world champ Kazuto Ioka, overall record of 22-1, 13 KOs. He renounced his belt just before his mandatory defense against Artem Dalakian, and he cited his recent marriage and move as though he didn't have enough time to prepare adequately for the fight, so he backed off. And also, the WBC reported its final ruling on suspended fighter Alexander Povetkin. His suspension will end December 6, 2017, and not March of 2018, as previously decided. He also have a one-year probation, and he's fined $250,000 U.S. dollars and must participate in a doping prevention campaign. And now the WBC Ratings Committee must make a reasonable evaluation, that's a quote, of his merits and rank him sometime in January of 2018. And just announced this week, Unified Women's Super Middleweight World Champ Clarissa Shields will defend her 168-pound titles against undefeated IBF mandatory challenger Tori Nelson. She's 17-0-3, 2 knockouts. That'll be on January 12th. And Shields is the 2-time Olympic gold winner who now has a pro record of 4-0 with 2 knockouts. So there we go, Aaron. Lots of good stuff there happening between here and there and all around.
Yeah, Bob, look, they can say whatever they want, Bob. Boxing's back and boxing's on the move. Man, as
yes,
you go around the world, every night somewhere in the world, boxing's going on. You know, when you
They have Tuesday night fights, Wednesday nights. Yeah, it's not just a Friday, Saturday night thing anymore either. Exactly.
Yeah, and you hear these guys get up and say, well, boxing ain't this and boxing ain't that. Well, we're seeing something different when you look really what's going on around the world in boxing and stop looking at a single network that you work for. You know what I mean? That's what
right. These
guys
right.
do. If guys ain't fighting on their network, boxing don't mean nothing. But boxing is happening around the world, and people are doing events. You know, it takes little shows like we talk about, Bob, to create the big shows. And if the big shows don't happen then infrequently, it is because they're not taking care of the little ones. The little shows take care of the big shows. That keeps the boxing fan that's dedicated interest in the sport. When boxing fans can't get to, you know, these little shows and stuff, what they see, they start losing interest. You know, when they lose interest, it shows in the box office places and in overall, and it makes conversation, you know, with these guys. It's amazing. Our historians, you hear them talk about different fighters. A lot of these fighters, man, are way back, you know, like Christy Martin, this and that. But they're better known than the fighters of today with all of these multimedia platforms and all of these, you know, videos and cameras. Fighters of fighters of yesteryear are better known than the fighters today with all of this multimedia thing, you know, and all you hear all of these guys talk. Oh, man, we're trying to brand our fighter. Oh, yeah, we're branding them. Yeah, you're branding the business of boxing right out the door, Bob. you know. Yeah, you got to take care of the little fan, and that's what the World Boxing Review is about. It's about bringing news to the average fan. That's what's happening around the world. And we talk about legends, past, present, and future stars, Bob.
Right. Yes, we are. How about this future star here? We're talking about that 17-year-old kid fighting out there in Reno this coming Friday night. You know, kid's still in high school and just going into the ring and taking care of business. You know, these are the kind of kids we want to keep an eye on, too. Because someday we want to sit here in a couple years and say, hey, Aaron, remember we were talking about Gabe Flores Jr., man, when he was just in high school. So we like to keep an eye on these young kids, too, you know, that are coming up.
Yeah, that's,
do our
that's
part.
My,
yeah.
The WBC and those organizations created a youth title, a youth championship. They have amateurs sports where amateurs can get in, you know what I mean, to that. You know
right.
what I mean? So it's
yeah.
something, it's something good, brother. And it raised a young man, you know, where he's starting out. He might not mature physically. He can handle 4-round, 6-round bouts, but he hasn't matured into the championship level. As we used to say, his man strength hasn't come to him yet. Some guys like
right.
Mike Tyson received their man strength earlier in life, you know what I mean? And some,
mm-hmm.
it happens later on in life, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, but it's good for young men like that, you know, to for us to keep a lookout on them, because it shows that boxing's really on the move when you have young people like that stepping up. And at one time, the commissions wouldn't let that stop it for a while for letting guys at a certain age come in and fight. You know, they said, you know,
right.
you have to be 18 or, you know, and they tried to push it up a little further. But it's good to see a 17-year-old kid out there doing it, you know.
Right. He's not traveling too far. I mean, he has 4 pro fights, and just looking into it a little bit earlier, it was, you know, he's basically been fighting in Reno, you know, so he's out of California. He's not traveling, like, you know, going across the country and getting into a strange environment, keeping him comfortable, you know, knowing that, okay, he's comfortable fighting in Reno. We'll take him there now. You know, maybe he'll get to Vegas eventually, who knows where. But, you know, they're taking it slow. So I think he's got some good people behind him, too, because that's, you know, as well as anybody, you know, it's about the people behind the kid, too, you know, parents and who knows what, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're on down the line.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's good and it's exciting and all that to have young people in, because the more young get young, it brings a younger crowd, and a lot of them want to start doing it. So it helps expand the sport in many ways. I know this thing that amateur boxing has taken off. You know, women's boxing has flourished because of fitness. You know, women start going into boxing gyms and doing box aerobics and things to they realize the shape that you get in and how it tones the body and all of that. So after they go in and try fitness classes, start hitting the speed bag, the heavy bag, and stuff like that, then the next thing, hey, I really want to compete in this thing. So that's good to see women's boxing elevated too. You know, what you announced there with Shields fighting. What's the date on that Shields fight again?
January 12th. Yeah, just announced this week. But, yeah, so coming up in about 2 months. But, yeah, she's a 2-time Olympic gold winner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turned pro. Mm.
Yeah.
And Tori Nelson's a tough fighter too. She's undefeated as well. So, yeah, that's good. And, yeah, it's good to see that we have that other fight too, Edinburgh, Scotland tonight. The ladies' junior lightweights go at that Chantel Cameron and Edith Ramos too. So, you know, they're out there fighting. We're just going to keep telling people about them too. You know, they're on these undercards. It's like Christy Martin was saying last week. You know, just get these names underneath the, you know, on these cards. like the Tyson fight, like she did, you know, how she got her name spread around just by being on those undercards.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like Christy spoke about last week, she bring the people that are fighting on her card in Charlotte. I mean, on
right.
here on 18th. I mean, that's a blessing to have young talent like that show up on the card. And, wow, it's good. It makes
Yeah, there's a lot of these other smaller venues. You know, we're talking even about a fight down the road in Delaware tonight and up in Portland, Maine, you know, Fresno, California, Edinburgh, Scotland, Newcastle, UK, and all this. Again, just the world is really turning on to the boxing, and there's a lot of fights going on all over the place, like every day of the week practically, too. So it's looking good.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. You know, as we wait, you know, for our guests to call in Matthew Hilton, we'll talk about some other things, especially that Dante Wilder fight with Anthony Joshua. I mean, that's an exciting, it's exciting.
Yes,
you know?
It's coming soon.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And, I don't know where it's going to be or when it's going to be, but I know the world wants to see that, yeah.
Well,
it's hard to say. I mean, yeah, where it's going to be here, you know, it's going to probably either be in the UK or here, so I don't really know. That's what they're going to figure out.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, Bob. Our guest right here, second to none, he's from Canadian Montreal. He was part of the Fighting Hilton, and his name is Matthew Hilton, the former IBF junior middleweight champion. Welcome to the World Boxing Review Radio Show, Matthew. How you doing?
Oh, great. How you doing, Aaron?
Oh, great, Matthew, man. Well, man, it's a pleasure to have you on the World Boxing Review Radio Show, isn't it, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
It's
hello,
great
Matthew.
Being here.
Nice to hear you.
Oh, nice to hear you, Bob.
Hey.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Hey, look, Matthew, you know, just explain to us, you know, y'all were the Fighting Hiltons, your brothers and all that became world champion, too. Your father was a former. How did you really get interested in boxing?
Well, Aaron, to tell you the truth, how I got in, I got two older brothers. My father was a boxer. I got two older brothers, Davey and Alec, are all. So I just followed in the trend.
Oh, yeah,
and turned to love it.
Wasn't your father or something? He was involved with Muhammad Ali and Jimmy Ellis. Wasn't he on the team or something with them or something?
Exactly. You're 100% right. I don't remember what year, but they were on the same team to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, because I remember
with Jimmy Jimmy Ellis was with us for years as well.
Yeah, Jimmy Ellis helped train you, didn't he?
Yes, he did, for years.
Yeah.
He was there when I won the title as well.
Oh, bro. When you fought for the title, Buster Matthews, right?
Buster Drayton.
Yeah. Right, from Philadelphia. You're
exactly.
Talking about a fighting fight. Man, Matthew, we talk about yesteryear and today. We always said about you fighting Hiltons. You guys were white, but you could fight. You remember everybody used to say that. Y'all had incredible.
Yes, of course I do.
In incredible rhythm that you had. And that left hook to the body, to that. You don't see guys doing those kind of combinations and rhythm like y'all had. Explain that to us.
Well, it's all part, Aaron. It's part of the way I was brought up. and raised and trained, always trained by my father. So it was all his teaching that got me there. And, you know, that's all I can say. That was my style. And I'm not that tall. I'm only 5'8", so most of the guys were way taller than me. So I went to the body to get the hands down.
Bring the hands down and the head down and then put that great knockout punch that you had on you.
Dad, you know it, Aaron.
Boy, and you could knock him out. And if people don't know, you fought a real veteran in Vito Amafermo.
Oh, the toughest guy I ever fought. I hit him with everything. I hit him with everything, and I really don't think I hurt him.
I mean, you talking about a thrilling fight, man.
Yep.
You just don't the guys now, you don't see that kind of enthusiasm, man. Y'all were going at it. You hit him with four or five punches. He'll try to match you, and then y'all go over here and do it again and go over here. I mean, it was just an exciting fight. And Matthew, I'm going to run some names at you, and you tell me what you feel about them. And
okay,
I already had something. The great Al Braverman.
Oh, man, the great. You said it all there, the great. He was in my father's days of fighting. So you said it all, Aaron, when you said the great Al Braverman.
But he was a great matchmaker, a great cut man. And
when was the last throwbacks, Aaron? One of the last throwbacks, Al, you know, the old-time Castiamato, Al Braverman, they're all the old throwbacks. That's the original boxing. And that's what I'm only 51 years old, but that's how I'd like to think of myself, as the old throwback. If I help kids in a gym now, that's what I do. I teach them the old way, not the new way, and the way I know.
Yeah, well, we were talking about earlier when announcing the news, you know, young guys at 17 now out in Reno fighting. But, man, you were fighting when you were a kid, when you were young. How old were you when you turned pro? You were young.
When I turned pro, every one of us actually were 17.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how we were just talking about this kid out in Nevada turning pro at 17. But y'all fought at 17, and y'all were in all the major gyms. I mean, guys used to line up in Gleason. You were even up there in the custom model camp, at King's camp, all over. People used to line up to want to spar all of y'all.
Exactly.
I mean, you talking about somebody work. Y'all guys were, man, did you put your work in? I mean, training. If guys listen to you nowadays, how to train, you know, all that running, all that hitting the heavy bags, man, your father be in there, and sometime he'd take you down in that well, you know. And I said, see, you guys, you know, guys, when you're trying to get them to that peak level, your dad would say, come on, let's go, one more, you know, guys, I'm tired. And your dad say, come on, let's go. He'd get on you guys, and boy.
Well,
you
know, Aaron, there's a lot of blood, sweat, work, but I'm telling you, Aaron, if I had to do it over again, I would do it in a second.
Wow.
The feeling of them saying, and the new world champion.
How about Bill Prezant? The cut man, Bill Prezant.
He's another one. Oh, I know who you're talking about. I called him Uncle Bill, Zeta.
Yeah, Uncle Billy.
But he's another one, like Al Braverman. He was years with my father for years. It went in my father's fighting days.
Yeah. And them
so
guys
he was like family, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. And Matthew, a lot of people don't know the Gotti, Joe and Torrio Gotti, they were around y'all when they were coming up. What was all that about? Were they related?
By marriage, Davey was married to the sister. But we grew up with them kids too, you know.
Yeah, and when you talk about Antonio Gotti, man, that they could fight too. You know, all
they,
of
they were tough.
Yeah, they were tough. You know, they were tough too.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
What are you doing up there in Montreal, Canada?
Actually, I don't do much at all, Aaron. You know, I'll go to the gym and I'll help kids train and stuff like that, but not really much at all.
Yeah, well, that's a whole lot, man. Today's nobody's tomorrow somebody. And let me tell you, if they listen about your boxing skills and the way you're able to teach, a lot of kids will go a long way, man.
Actually, Aaron, I'm going to fight tonight. Not that I'm not going directly. It's in Las Vegas, but I'm going to a restaurant to watch the fights. A kid from here, David Lemieux, and I don't quite know the other guy who he's fighting, but a guy from here, David Lemieux, is fighting for the title tonight.
Yeah, I think Bob mentioned that. Bob, was that on our list in Vegas?
Not that one. Let me go back to that now. Billy Joe Saunders, I know, was going to fight
That's the name, Billy Saunders, yep.
Yeah.
Billy Saunders, yeah, he's a WBO middleweight champ, yeah.
Okay, he's fighting David Lemieux tonight, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Right,
that's,
yeah.
That's
from
it.
Here, yep.
Yeah. That's, you know, with our boxing news, that's why we go over it, to let people know what's going on. But, hey, we got a direct link insight into that. How is he as a fighter, Matthew?
Well, actually, he's very good.
He was a former champ, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes, he was. But he
yeah,
can
yeah,
sharpen
the
up on you like he's
champion,
A lot of people resemble him to the way I used to fight. A lot of people here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, if he got a little bit of what you got, he got a whole lot. If he has a little bit of what you got, he got a whole lot. You talking about, man.
Thank you, Aaron.
So, hey, look, man. No, no doubt, man. You know, you just don't see that in a family of fighters. You know, did they bring y'all names up in the Hall of Fame yet or anything like that?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, in May, I'm already in the Hall of Fame here in Montreal, Quebec. But in May, they're inducting me in the Hall of Fame in Ontario.
Oh, in Ontario. I know, man. Man, that's a blessing. And congratulations on being inducted into the Hall of Fame. You deserve it, Matthew. And
I'd like to tell you,
I just got inducted into the National Boxing Hall of Fame in California. The ceremony is going to be in April 28th in California.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to Shavalo, they're putting him in that National Boxing Hall of Fame at the same time, George Shavalo.
Okay.
Toronto, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Matt, up there in Montreal, when you fought for the title, man, y'all sold the place out. What arena was that?
That was the old Montreal Forum.
So much
now it's
this.
Now it's changed.
Okay.
It was the Moulton Center. Now I think it's.
People were hanging off the rafters, man. People were all outside, man. And the tickets went so fast, man. So many people, man, wanted to watch you and see you, man. What a sensation, you know.
But Aaron, like I had told you before, all the wars in the gym, the hard training, the jogging, when I lift my hand and they said the new world champion, oh, man, it was worth it.
Wow. All the blood.
I believe it, yep.
That's like 30 years ago, and I still get shivers when I mention it. I can think of it.
Wow. Wow. And they people don't understand, Matthew. Sometimes when you're training, you get low, and when things are not coming as fast, you know, you have low periods. When you think when
exactly.
you're not a champ, you don't think it's never going to come. And how you go in and still got to push it and do it. Explain a little bit about that, you know, that push and that drive.
Well, me, Aaron, all I can say is I knew what I was taught from such a young age, but I knew what I wanted, and I knew what it takes. Like those freezing days here up in Canada, those snowy days, and I get out there and freeze for the first mile of jogging. But like I said to you earlier, everything was worth it. I mean, it takes so much work, Aaron, so much work. But when you lift your arms up and you know you're the best in the world, it's worth every minute, every second of it.
Yeah. And Matthew, I'll never forget. My wife, Louise, she's passed of cancer. I think this fight was when Tim Witherspoon in Buffalo. When Tim Witherspoon fought Dan Broad. You fought on the show too, I believe.
Yes, I did. My brother Alec and myself.
Yeah.
The blood.
And my wife sat with your mother.
Pardon me?
My wife sat with your mother. And she
Okay.
Them two were going crazy in the, at ringside yelling for, "Go, Matthew!" They were going crazy.
And I believe my grandmother and grandfather were there too.
Yeah, they were. They were there.
Yeah.
Alec, who was it? Davey was your older brother, right?
Yes, Davey, Alec, Matthew, Stuart's the one that passed away, and Jimmy's the youngest.
Yeah, Jimmy's
and I got a
youngest.
Sister. She's the oldest.
Yeah, the fighting Hilton. The fighting Hilton. Bob, do you ask a question, Bob, for Matthew?
Yeah, you know, that's good. You just kind of let into it. So when you were a kid and you had these two older brothers, so come on, tell us, did you have any, like, fights with your brothers? Did they teach you anything along the way? Or, you know, what was your relationship with them as far as fighting? I mean, you know, you were all, you know, with your dad and everything, but how about you and your siblings? You know, did you guys ever just say, let's mess around a little bit, get in the ring and whack each other out a bit or something?
Oh, there was nobody else. Really, we were our own sparring partners. You know, we'd box together. That's all we had.
Yeah.
So we always sparred together.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, really.
But then
sometimes
my dad had to jump in there and get us off.
Oh. Well, I could hear
break you up.
They used to go at it, bro. You want to see classes. Davey, Matthew, man, they'll go at it, man. Period. But that's what made them so great fighters, man. Such passion. Such fire, such desire, man. Like I said, you don't see that like that anymore for fighting. You guys had it. Now, your brother Davey, who did he win the title off of? I forget.
From the South, Dingin Tobela from South Africa.
Yeah. Didn't he fight Davey Moore? Didn't he fight Davey Moore?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Dingin Tobela from South Africa.
Oh, South Africa. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, what belt did he have?
He had the WBC, 168.
Yeah, 168. That's right. That's right.
So and that's another thing in history. I don't think there is two brothers, Aaron, from Canada that's ever in the history of Canada. I don't believe there is two world champions in the same family.
Wow. Well, we got to ask our historians. They probably know. I'll find it out for you when I get
There'll be a few in the States. I know the Sphinx.
Yeah, there's quite a few teams, but none successful, more successful than the Sphinx, because you had two brothers win the heavyweight championship of the world.
Yeah.
Michael.
Right.
And then their son, Leon Spinks' son, ended up winning a title.
Oh, he did?
Right.
Corey Spinks. Yeah, Corey Spinks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was a good fighter. Yeah, I seen him.
Yeah, that was Leon's son.
Okay.
That was
cool. You know, we're speaking of the brothers, too. You know, there was, tonight over there in Portland, Maine, the Carpensi brothers, too. They've both been around for a while, too, fighting up there in Portland tonight.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Right.
Yeah. Jeremiah, the heavyweight, and his brother.
Yeah, that's
Donovan.
Him. Yeah, that's right. In Portland,
wow.
Maine.
Like heavyweight.
Portland's
right
up by Lewiston, Maine, right there where Ollie's historical fight with Sonny Liston.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not far. It's right up the road there. But is it cold up there, Matthew? How's the weather?
It's getting cold now. But actually, it's beautiful today, but the air is getting cold. Still no snow.
Yeah. Has it snowed up there yet?
Nope. Not yet.
Wow.
They announced snow last night, but it never...
snow down here this week. We had snow in Pennsylvania this week.
Oh.
getting better there. Yeah. I look out the window on whatever it was, Wednesday, and said, look at it, it's snowing.
Well, no, we haven't. So far.
Yeah. Name some of your favorite foods that you used to like to eat when you were training.
To tell you, the pasta, but to tell you the truth, Aaron, my all-time favorite was steak, a nice steak before a fight. It was a nice steak. I don't know why. And pasta.
Yeah, and pasta. You know, was it difficult making adjustment from Canadian food to American food when you were in the States, Matthew?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. But, man, y'all spent a lot of time in the big city of New York City. Gleason's gym down in there, man. You had a lot of great sparring sessions down in there, right?
Oh, man, we had some wars. We had some wars, Aaron. Oh, boy. I think that's a lot where we learned during the sparring sessions, because some even came out to be, turned out to be world champions, the people that we were sparring with. But we had some wars.
Yeah. And plus, when you trained up in the Catskills, you and Mike Tyson became very close, right?
Yeah. Mike, I talked to Mike last year or so or two. I was out in Vegas, a friend of mine, and they had reunited Mike and me, and Mike made a big fuss of me.
Yeah, that was your buddy.
Oh, yeah, for years.
Yeah. But similar styles, too, you know what I mean? That devastating body attack. And those scalp blows that you delivered, you know.
Well, like I was telling you before, Aaron, my dad has trained us all our life. But I did take points from Custy Amato and stuff. He did help us train, so that's why you would say that we had similar things, Mike and me, because Custy Amato, we were up there at his camp too, so we took some things off of him as well.
That's right.
Defense techniques and all that.
Yeah. I mean, y'all went around and traveled around the United States. Your father knew how to groom a fighter, because he took you wherever boxing was at. He took y'all guys, and y'all would spar with the best of the fighters that were in there.
Aaron, you know your boxing and you know what it takes, and that's exactly 100%. The majority of people don't know it, but that's exactly what my father did. He took, because here, before we came, boxing was very limited facilities, you know,
resources.
Resources, exactly. So we went to the the United States and different areas and this and that. All money out of my poor father's pocket, and we didn't come from a rich family. But it all came from my dad's pocket, and we trained. That was his goal, too.
Yeah, well, your father, man, he believed in the dream, put it that way. And
yeah, 100%.
He believed in the dream, and he packed y'all in there, blah, 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 man. And I remember the first time seeing y'all and meeting y'all, you know, with Don and all of that. Don King had a press conference when they bring you in to announce that he had signed y'all. And, man,
yeah,
it was like fear stuff. I said, man, all of it. And let me tell you, Matthew, when the girls seen all of you guys, they just went crazy. I don't know what it was about with you guys. I mean, you know, y'all had that certain look that people wanted to know better, you know, as they say, the American boy look y'all had. But y'all can fight, man. And they used to just scream and yell, you know.
Well, they weren't used to seeing it, you know, Aaron, for years. And then from this, like you said earlier, and from the same families. So we used to fill up the places. They loved our style. And the three of us, Davey, Alec, and me, not one of us had the same style.
Wow, that's right. That's right. Because Alex and Stuart, they were more or less boxers. I remember Stuart, man, he could really box.
Yeah.
You know, he could really box. You know.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah. So, Matthew, in closing, you got 30 seconds. What do you want to get out there for people to know?
I just tickled Aaron to touch bases with you, and haven't talked to you in so long. That's all I really want to say.
Oh, man, thank you so much, Matthew. And look, you're still white, but you can fight, baby. And there was no joke. I've seen you far a whole lot of people, you know, world champions. And let me tell you something, that rhythm and that punching ability that you had, bro, you're a champion. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. Thank you, Matt.
Great, Matt. Thank you so much, Eric.
Yeah.
Great, nice talking to you, too.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, look, without further ado, we'd like to welcome our historian, Henry Haskup. Man, Henry, you had a great event, the Hall of Fame, man. I know you want to talk about it. Welcome to the show, the World Boxing Review radio show, Henry.
Well, thank you, Aaron. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. First of all, I want to congratulate you going into the National Boxing Hall of Fame. That's quite an honor.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not too many people get that.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. It brings tears to my eyes, but, you know, guys like you, Tony, and everybody, y'all helped me get in there because y'all know boxing.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe next y'all year we'll put you in some other Hall of Fame.
Yeah, thank you. So thank you so much. But right now it's about the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. You just had you inducted a weekday.
Yeah, well, we had it Thursday night. Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday
night. We had it Thursday night. It was our 48th annual induction ceremonies, and it was the largest crowd we had since the 1980s. We had like 650 people, you know, jammed into the Venetian in Garfield. We inducted 14 different individuals, you know, cutmen, trainers, boxers, you know, contributors. I mean, I can go over, you know, the first one was, you know, the alphabetical order. It's Sal Lessie. He was a manager, a trainer. He promoted some bouts. He was like a matchmaker for the Golden Gloves and also pound-for-pound boxing. Kenny Bogner, he was one of the most outstanding, exciting lightweights of the 1980s. He was ranked in the top 10 in 1983. Then you got Clarence Coleman, who just by, you know, he would box a gorilla if you ask him to. I mean, you know, anybody. He boxed guys like Mickey Ward and Frankie Warren, Charles Murray, Saul Mombi he beat. Then you got Greg Everett, who only lost, I think, three bouts in his career, and two of them were against world champions. One was Frank Tate, and the other one's against James Toney. You know, and you can't you know, be ashamed of that. And Anthony Hamm, who now lives in Florida, he used to be in New Jersey training people. He trained at least 14 different world champions, including Ettore Gatti, Mercer, Murray, Tracy Patterson, Shannon Briggs, Bobby Chez, Corey Spinks. Then you got the Eye, Joey Eye. He made a big hit up there because he was telling the story how he actually got into boxing. You know, he was getting bullied around, and somebody asked him to go into a boxing gym. He didn't want no part of it until he ran the streets with a guy by the name of Sylvester Stallone in Rocky II, and Stallone picked him up over his head in Philadelphia. You know, he was only a little kid at the time. And the next day, he said he told his father, he says, "I want to be like Rocky." And he went to the gym, and, you know, he became, you know, a boxer in the beginning, but he's more famous as a cut man. In fact, he's won the best cut man of Pennsylvania 15 years in a row, and now the award is named after him. I mean, he worked the corners like Ray Mercer, Ivan Robinson, Seldon, Jackie Fraser, Tim Witherspoon, you know, Darren Machinsky, Michael Grant. Then you got Johnny Molinar. He was a multi-time, I guess he won 10 different amateur titles in the state of New Jersey, including three Golden Glove titles and three ABF titles. I mean, he would have even been better as a pro. He finished with 20 wins, two losses, and two draws, but he had a shoulder injury that kind of stopped his momentum. And you got Bob Rooney Sr. He trained at least 23 Golden Glove champions and 18 Diamond Glove champions, including a lot of state team titles. He also managed and trained Nino Gonzalez, who went on to fight Roberto Duran and was Chuck Webner's sparring partner for about 13 years. And he brought in like 80 people. I mean, the whole Bayonne was there, it looked like. And, of course, the biggest star as far as fighters go is probably Marlon Starlin. You know, he was former WBA and WBC welterweight champion of the world. You know, he beat guys like Simon Brown, Mark Breland, Lloyd Hunnigan, Kevin Howard, Floyd Mayweather Sr. You know, he's world class. Yeah. You got Adrian Stone.
Yeah,
he was a former IBO light middleweight champion. He fought guys like Shane Mosley and Vernon Forrest and Sergio Martinez. And you got a guy by the name of Paul Valente. He was an amateur champion, but more importantly, he's the president for the last 10 years of the American Association for Improvement of Boxing, better known as AAIB, which was founded by Steve Acunto and Rocky Marciano. In the last 10 years, he, as the president, was responsible for giving out close to a quarter of $1 million to young people to go to college. I mean, he made a lot of dreams come true as far as people going to college. A lot of kids can't afford it, and you know, I'm on the board itself, but let me tell you, he's the one, he's the backbone. He does just about everything. We run a big golf tournament every year, and we raise the money, and every penny, every cent goes to these kids. We've awarded as much as $8,000 to some of these kids, and some other ones we award from the freshman year all the way up to senior and make sure they graduate. And great guy. Of course, posthumously, we have Jimmy Cirello, who was undefeated in his first 29 bouts. But his main claim to fame was actually happened in, I believe it was in July 1952, when he was sparring with an undefeated heavyweight contender, later heavyweight champion, Rocky Marciano, and he actually floored him. And, you know,
wow.
The place, went wild because Marciano was very seldom ever floored. In fact, at that time, he wasn't ever floored. It was before
right.
he won the
That's
title.
Right.
So, but, you know, Marciano said he slipped, but his trainer says, he caught you. You might have been off balance, but he caught you. Then you got
yeah.
Oscar Goody, who just fought just about every other week for a long time. And he beat Herbie Katz, who was world-rated, and also fought Roland Lestarger, who went on to, of course, fight Rocky Marciano. Then one of my favorites is Mike Misandria. He had like 19. He fought for only 19 months, and he had 36 fights. Five times
right.
on his career, he fought like three times in a single month. But the more importantly is that he fought a more important battle. Even before he was 20, he retired and went to the war in World War II, and he was a paratrooper. And on July 6, 1944, at the Battle of Normandy, better known as D-Day, at the age of 21, he lost his life. You know, so he was a real war hero, and his sister got up there and accepted the award, and she was just shaking, and the whole family was so happy that it happened. And of course, we have other honorees. We had our amateur boxer of the year, Adam Ali, who was a national Golden Glove champion in the 141 pound class, and then you got Manny Chance, who was a junior Olympic boxer of the year. He's also a national champion, rated number one in his age and weight group, and Derek Webster, he was a pro boxer of the year. He has a 24-1 record, and he's appeared on a couple of movies, including Creed. The thing about him is that just 2 days or 3 days before the induction ceremonies, he lost his brother in a tragic car accident. In fact, I called him up. He emailed me, and he says he's really hurt about something, so I called him up, and he was sobbing like a baby, but he didn't want to talk too much about it at that time because he didn't want to break down. So it was a sad moment, but he was our boxer of the year. And then he got Andy Mustachio. He was our amateur official of the year. He's officiated in 15 different countries on 4 different continents, and he's a 3-star. IEBA official for the World Series of Boxing. He was voted the outstanding IEBA official in the 2012 Olympic trials. Then you got Mike Rizzo. He was our coach of the year. He has champions from all different weight classes and all different ages, from regionals, junior Olympic national champions, silver glove national champions. Then, of course, Chuck Webner. He was our man of the year. He made a really big hit at the end, like I said, the main event. He had the whole Bayonne, I think half of Bayonne was there, cheering him on. The inspiration for Rocky. Now he has his own movie about him, and I always like to say, he's one of only 4 men ever to floor Muhammad Ali. But he's the only guy ever to box Muhammad Ali and wrestle Andre the Giant. So he made a great hit, and the people just stood up and just cheered him.
Yeah. In closing, we got 60 seconds, Henry, and me and Bob want to congratulate you. We know it takes a lot of effort, for putting on such an event, and being on our show, because it keeps boxing alive. And we were talking.
Well, it is a lot of work, but at the end of the day, I think, when people come up to you and, they're almost in tears, and, it's worth it, you see the crowd of 650 people out there cheering and, yelling, and, it was really, really good. And by the way, that trivia question, they are the only 2 from Canada, the Matthew brothers, the Hilton brothers.
They are historians. See that, Bob?
Yeah. I have a list of all the brothers.
We got it. And Henry, we're going to close on that. We like to
okay, I'll be going to Nassau Coliseum tonight. To
okay,
see the fight
there
out there with
right.
Danny Jacobs.
Yeah,
Nassau hey,
Coliseum.
Thanks again for having me.
Like, yeah, we like to thank you for tuning into the World Boxing Review. I'm Aaron Snowell. They call me the Trainer of Champion. And Bob Murray, our radio aficionado, and our great historian, our hats off to you, Henry Haskell. Congratulations in the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame for a great event. Thank you, and tune in every Saturday from 11
thank you.
To 12.
Okay, thank you. Talk to you in a couple weeks. Bye.
All right.